An effective partnership between CDI specialists and coders should be top priority for all documentation teams. On this episode, we'll review ways to solidify the relationship between these two departments and also examine the areas of risk that they encounter. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, Principal for Operations and Quality at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Joining me is Rachel Mack, Consulting Director at Vizient. Rachel, welcome back.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Tom. So happy to be back.
So why is the partnership between CDI specialists and coders so crucial? I mean, why do you think we even need to be discussing that right now?
Oh my goodness, Tom, this is one of my favorite topics in CDI. I thought that that would change over the years, but it really hasn't. It is, again, one of the things I'm going to always shout from the rooftops. And of course, I have a story to back up my opinion. So I'm going to start with a story and then I'm going to answer your question. I was part of a CDI program for many years, and long and the short of it, what really happened was, again, I mentioned on a previous episode, I got the privilege to work with the same three or four coders for the first 2 years or so of my CDI role. That was fantastic. They got to know me. I got to know them. We could be very transparent with each other, and it was just extremely educational and extremely supportive. So what happened at around year two of my CDI career is the hospital I was working at became systemized or centralized with multiple other hospitals in my state. As everybody knows, this takes years. So they start centralizing and systemizing programs kind of one area at a time. And CDI and coding was one of, again, typical for everybody listening, typical. We were on the back burner. So we got centralized after about 2 years of this. So what happened was, and this wasn't bad for me, this was great for me personally, but we went from working with three or four medical coders to working with about 20. And so what happens is you're kind of used to the way so-and-so does this. And, oh, you know, so-and-so is going to want you to ask this. That's just human behavior. So what happened in the first year of that, and it was really, just really detrimental, honestly, there's really not a better word for it. But the CDI specialists and the coders really started to not get along. And it became, I'm right, you're wrong. This is the way we're doing it sort of thing. The other thing that I noticed, and I have told this story across the country many times when this topic comes up again, because I'm very passionate about it, but what I saw happen was the CDI specialists who are nurses really started to talk down to the medical coders. And the thing is, this was all via email. Everybody could see this communication and what was going on. So as my career progressed and I got into a little bit of a mini leadership position, I got to see these emails and I was appalled, using all caps, essentially yelling via email.
Wow.
About how wrong you are and you don't know this, that, and the other. And a lot of medical coders really obviously don't respond well to that and they back down or they really don't fight their opinion. And the thing is, we shouldn't be fighting our opinions. You should just say, I think it's this. And the other person says, I think it's this. And then it gets escalated. That's what really should happen. And so long and the short of it, the coders and the CDI specialists were literally no longer allowed to communicate with each other. We could reconcile records because we could see in the EMR what final coded and all that stuff. And we could see if our MCC got coded or whatever. But if it didn't, tough luck. That is what this relationship led to. And so after about a year of that, new leadership came in, new management came in, and we really started to mend those relationships and build guidelines and rules saying, if you guys disagree with an MSDRG, there's two emails that can go out. One email from person number one and a response back from person number two. If you utilize all caps, you will be put on an action plan. All these things that you wouldn't think that you have to do for adults, but we know that you do. And so after about a year of that, those relationships, they were just so much better. Oh my goodness. It was just a mutual respect relationship that just didn't exist before. So I tell this story because I thought that my program was unique in that regard. I just thought, this is insane. This is crazy. Tom, I go across the country. I hear this everywhere. Coders think this. CDI specialists think this. No, we don't talk to each other. No, we don't reconcile. We're not allowed to email. We're not allowed to message because of some type of something, some eruption like what I just described from a year to five, 10 years ago. The reason all that is terrible is because CDI specialists, when you don't develop that relationship with a coder who can send you a coding guideline, who can send you a coding clinic, when you don't develop that coding piece of your CDI brain, you are missing out. You're not able to do your job at the capacity that it was intended to be done. For coders, when they don't have that relationship and they don't get to talk to us, they miss out on the clinical piece of why we ask this question. Oh, now I see why you asked that acute respiratory clinical validation question or whatever the case may be. So it's really just a huge miss when these two amazing teams are not on the same page and are not working together.
Rachel, when we go around the country, we deal with organizations that are struggling with their PCIs, with their hacks, and we actually see this with national data. Is this part of the typical reconciliation process that's needed between CDI and coding? I mean, it directly affects your quality.
Absolutely. And so what I find when it comes to the quality piece, again, I'm sorry, I have so many stories, Tom. So this one's a quickie.
I like stories.
When I got involved in the PSI program at my hospital many moons ago, long and the short of it, some of the PSIs you can get kicked out of or don't count or don't ding your hospital if you are admitted emergently or urgently, if this was not a planned admission. So long and the short of it, we started to review PSIs. One of the things I saw, I took a screenshot of it at the time, didn't have any patient information in it, was the patient's mode of transport was a helicopter and their admission status was elective. So it's things like that. That's just a dip in the pool. I noticed that because it was my job to go through and check these quote unquote clinical, that's not really a clinical box, by the way, but these boxes and say, oh, does their admission status align? Are there any exclusion criteria or this, that, or the other? That's not really a coder's job. It is their job to assign that admission status as correctly as they humanly can. But at some places, that's not even a coder's job. That's like a unit secretary's job or something like that. So a coder's job, they need to have the record perfect by the time it gets to them. It is a CDI specialist job to jot down notes that they can see, code things, ask for exclusion criteria, try and get us out of inappropriate hacks and PSIs. And again, going back to the importance of that relationship, when you can really be transparent with a coder about why you did what you did, what you were looking for, why you queried for what you queried for, either in an email or in your CDI notes or however that works, it's a breath of fresh air, I think, for coding to be able to have that. And they can say, yep, I feel strongly about coding this or not coding this. They feel empowered to do the right thing.
Are there any pitfalls from doing this kind of reconciliation?
The one pitfall, and you're just going to hear this, I feel like time and time again, no pun intended, is time. Mm-hmm. I don't think reconciliation should take 10 hours of your week or anything like that, but it does take a couple hours of your week. What I used to do, I never reconciled on Monday. I knew better because Mondays are just absolutely terrible for CDI specialists.
Right.
But on Tuesday later in the day, I would do it for an hour. On Thursday, I'd do it for an hour, hour and a half. And on Friday, I'd wrap up anything that was final coded. But it's still time because a CFO is going to hear that and be like, oh, you need 4 hours a week to reconcile. Look how many new patients you could see in that amount of time. Look how many follow-up reviews you could see in that amount of time. So I think it's one of those things where as people are building programs and building the job, it has to be part of the responsibility of the CDI specialist and the coder. I think the time piece is more true for coding because we can't have all of this money in limbo waiting to be billed.
Right.
It's their job to code records, churn them out, get them billed, get them out the door. And when they have to take 5 or 10 minutes to respond to an email or have a phone call about the most accurate MSDRG, sometimes, again, to leadership, that can seem not important. But at the end of the day, if we can get the case to the accurate MSDRG, get as many appropriate CCs and MCCs coded, get as many risk-adjusted diagnoses on there, that really is going to be the perfect record. And it's going to hopefully prevent it from being audited or denied at a later date. So it all comes full circle to why that reconciliation piece is so important. We really just want the clinical truth of the patient expressed on their bill.
Efficiency and accuracy, that's probably the best thing I see you do around the country when working with organizations.
Absolutely.
So let's bring this all to a nutshell. What do you think our listeners actually need to take away from our discussion in these last three episodes?
Good question. So I'll start with the prior two episodes is use your technology well. Use it like you use anything on your phone. Use it like you use your email. Use it in such a way that it makes you the absolute best CDI specialist and the absolute most efficient, most productive, and most quality CDI specialist that you can be. Use it to your advantage. For this episode, my takeaway is I personally, as a CDI specialist, I think CDI specialists and coders should be best friends. I'm also going to bring in another best friend. It should be the physicians. If you've worked with these guys and gals for years, a lot of you might be really lucky enough to have those type of relationships, even working at home. But these people that you work with on a daily basis that you bounce ideas off of, they make you better. They challenge you. They grow you. Learning that you're not always right all the time is actually a really good thing. If all of us were right all the time, that's just nonsense and ridiculous. So I think having people on your team that help you grow is of absolute importance.
If you would ask for my 2 cents as well, is I think a hybrid model is fine, but having a presence in the floor is important, particularly for that physician component, because everything is based on relationships.
I completely agree. And I know that we're not talking about rounding and things like this currently, because people have a lot of widely varying opinions about that. But it's not even just the rounding. It truly is just the COVID handshake, the shoulder bump, the how are your kids? How's mountain biking going? Hey, did you ski this weekend? The silly stuff. This is what makes us human, is talking about those things and not just talking about work constantly and all the time.
Beautiful. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Rachel Mack for joining us. And if you'd like to contact Rachel, we put her email address in the resource section of our podcast page. And if you have any additional questioning pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us a comment, please contact us at our email at modernpracticepodcast.com. We've posted a link in our resource sessions as well. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, and send us your comments. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.